Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the In No Hurry podcast. This is your host, Cole Douglas Claiborne. Excited to be back with you this week for another episode. If you are not already subscribed to this show, I would love for you to subscribe on whatever your preferred podcast platform is. That way you can stay alerted to any future episodes. We do these every other week, so make sure you stick around and check out future conversations. This week, I'm excited to welcome a repeat guest on the show. My guest this week is Jason Romano. He is the director of media at Sports Spectrum and also the host of the Sports Spectrum podcast. And as you know, I write and produce podcasts for Sports Spectrum. So Jason is my boss in that capacity. And I'm really excited about this conversation because this is a topic that I personally have dealt with, and many sports fans, or really just anybody who kind of has a hobby or a passion that they really get into and maybe a little bit too passionate about. But this conversation is about sports fandom and how do we not allow it to take over our identity and dictate our emotions. Specifically, how do we put our sports fandom in the context of being a believer in Jesus? How do we set an example publicly and not act sort of irrational and belligerent when our teams lose or our favorite athletes don't play well? It's a big issue for a lot of people, and even believers deal with it. Even whenever they're watching their teams, our emotions can go wild. I know that's definitely been the case for me with some of my teams. But I think this can be true for anything that we place above God, anything that we replace our relationship with God with or spend too much time indulging in. It's really all about perspective and putting things in their proper context. And so that's sort of the crux of our conversation this week. Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you guys will enjoy this. But here is my conversation with Jason Romano. Jason, welcome back to the show. I think you're now one of the most frequented guests on my show, so I'm sure that's a big honor for you. Welcome back.
I don't know if you just ran out of people, Cole. I don't know, but I'm glad to be back and always will say yes when you invite me on. So thanks for having me back.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, we always it's always good to have somebody on here to talk a little bit about sports. That's obviously right in my wheelhouse. But big time here. We're at the end of May, and NFL draft has just happened. NBA playoffs are in full swing. MLB baseball is in full swing as well. No pun intended with that one. But yeah, lots of sports going on. I know you're a big Celtics fan. They're in the Eastern Conference Finals. How are you feeling? How are you feeling about their chances of making it to possibly winning another title this year?
Well, I feel good, which always, this is where the fandom kicks in, right, Cole? It's like, I feel good, but then of course I'll be disappointed. And it's like, I get this way about myself as a fan where it's like, oh, I feel great. Like we're gonna play wonderful. And then all it takes is like one little something. And I'm just like, yep, you see, that's what I get for getting my hopes up. You know, the teams that I root for have won one championship of the three major sports since 1995. So 28 years I've had one title. It was the Celtics in 2008. And so I'm very cautiously optimistic, we'll say, Cole. I think they're the better team than the Heat. I think they're still the best team playing, but that doesn't always mean you win. And the Celtics have been a little topsy-turvy this year. Last year, especially since the second half of the year, they just played great defense and fought and clawed. This year, they're the better team, but sometimes the better team kind of maybe takes some plays off or isn't as hungry. But we'll see. I think they're going to beat the Heat, and I think they'll be in the finals for a second straight year. But you can call me in 2 weeks and say, yeah, that didn't quite work out so well, huh, Jason? So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess by default, I'm a Pacers fan because I'm from Indiana. I wish that I could get into the NBA more. I did make an honest effort to do that this year. I played fantasy NBA for the first time in like 15 years. Okay. Kind of lost focus at midway through the year, but I did buy the new NBA 2K video game, which was awesome. It has this really cool, you probably would enjoy this because you can play in different eras. So I could actually go through and play in the Magic and Bird era. So it'll set up like a dynasty. You can draft teams or play as the teams. You can draft Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, all of that. It's pretty awesome. So they have the Magic Bird era, the Jordan era, the Kobe era, and then the modern era. So you can choose between different eras to play in. And it's also got this really cool, like Michael Jordan specific mode. It's a pretty neat video game, which is why I felt like I was like, I want to get that just for the nostalgia aspect of it. Like you can go back and play in the Jordan era and it'll have all of the branding, the logos from the early 90s and like the, you know, the teams from the early 2000s. Like you can play as the Seattle Supersonics. It's pretty awesome. So
yeah, I was a video game guy, you know, in the 80s, because I'm old, and into the 90s. And then I don't know, somewhere in the late 90s, I think the last video game system I bought was like PlayStation 3, maybe, which is what year, like 2000? Does that sound right?
Yeah.
2001?
That's about there, yeah. They're up to 5 now, which I bought one a couple years ago just because I'd waited for so long. I'd been playing my PS3 for years, and I mostly kept it because I was playing the most recent college football game that has not come out since 2014.
Right.
Now there's talk, I think there's supposed to be another one coming out next year. And so I was like, I'm going to get a PS5 and finally upgrade. And it's been nice because I can actually watch like MLB TV and Hulu and whatever else on it. So it's kind of been a nice thing. But yeah, I pretty much only play sports games. It's like
maybe when when my daughter gets married someday to my son-in-law, whoever that might be, there's no current prospects at this moment, but maybe that person will be into video games and I can get back into them a little bit. We'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you were touching on earlier your fandom, and I know this is something you and I were talking about earlier today, and just kind of like this idea of, as believers, you know, how do we not let our sports fandom kind of become, I guess, our identity or take over our emotions? And this is an interesting conversation. It's not one that I've really had a lot, especially not on the show, but it is something that personally I have dealt with, where my fandom at certain seasons of my life has really overtaken my identity, my emotions. I've allowed it to really affect my mood, which is silly because I've not met any of these people in person. I don't know them personally. They're just playing on a team who I happen to like, and then they go to another team and then I don't follow them anymore. So I'm really just rooting for the laundry of the teams that I follow. So it's really silly. Sports fandom is a silly thing. But nonetheless, it can really affect, you know, our emotions. We get really into it. You know, we spend a lot of time invested, some money invested, you know, we travel to see our teams and that sort of a thing. But man, it can get really cumbersome, and it can really dictate how we you know, approach each day. Like I would get so angry for like a week or two after the Cardinals would get eliminated from the playoffs. I would let it just really, like, I remember being 23 years old sitting in my apartment. This would, it must have been the 2012 playoffs. They lost. And I just remember literally throwing something at my wall. And then I was just like, what am I doing? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So thankfully I'm at a point now where I don't feel like I am that way. I definitely get upset after some losses, but I do not get as angry as I used to. Yeah. I mean, just what are some of your thoughts on this? I know this is something you brought up to me earlier, and I know you're a Cowboys fan, you're a Celtics fan, you're a Mets fan. I assume you're a UConn basketball fan. So maybe this year was a good year for you. I don't know if you are or not, but I know you know one of the players on the team because he went to school with your daughter. But nonetheless, I mean, you and I both have had some bad luck with our teams. We'll say that.
Yeah, I rooted for UConn this year because of Donovan Klingon, who is one of the backup centers. He's going to start next year, and he went to high school with my daughter, and we know the family. So I rooted for UConn because of that, not because I live in Connecticut or have been a lifelong UConn fan. That is not the case at all. But this year was fun because then they went and ran the table and won the championship, which was so cool. I'll tell you, my earliest sports memory, really my earliest memory, Cole, goes back to 1980, and it was the 49ers, 1981, the 49ers Cowboys NFC championship game. It's a famous play. Dwight Clark makes the catch. And, you know, it's kind of, for those that weren't alive, it's one of those legendary, you know, moments that you look back in sports lore and you remember the catch and you see highlights of it. Well, I watched that game live as a 7-year-old and or 8-year-old, and I cried my eyes out after, you know, the Cowboys lost that game. And that was a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and their last really good chance to go to the Super Bowl for, you know, at least 12 years at that point. But I remember crying my eyes out, and that's 8 years old, which tells you the fandom that I had. When your team loses and you cry, that tells you the level, even at 8 years old. An 8-year old could cry about a lot of things, but I cried because my team lost a game. So that tells you the passion that I had even back then. Fast forward, you know, into the 90s, you know, I'm early 20s. The Cowboys are winning Super Bowls. It was great, but the Mets were not good. The Celtics had just ended the Larry Bird era. And it was during those years, especially for the Cowboys fan in me, that I would go into a rut for the full week almost if they lost a game. Like in 94, they lost an NFC championship game to the Niners. It was the one time in those 4 years that they lost to the Niners and didn't go to the Super Bowl. And I was done for like a week. I think I was 21 at the time or 20. I don't want to call myself depressed. That's probably not the right word, because that would put a, you know, I think a damper on people who actually are depressed. But I was down in the dumps and just bitter and bummed, and like any little thing would set me off. The Cowboys stink. You know, you want to talk about the game? No, I don't want to talk about the game. So I was very angry about it. And then, you know, I wasn't a Christian at the time. But since I've become a Christian, it's been 21 years, 22 years, I still struggle sometimes with getting too caught up in the game. And I'll give you an example. In 2011, and you'll like this, my buddy and I, you talked about, you know, traveling far to see a sporting event. My buddy Scott and I take these, you know, sort of man trips every so often. It used to be every year, and it's kind of become every couple of years now, where we'll pick like a stadium or a cool venue, and we'll go and we'll just enjoy the game. And usually it's not, Scott and I are both Cowboy fans, but usually it's not a Cowboys game, because we don't want to watch our team win or lose and get so high or so low. We just want to go and enjoy a game. So we went to Lambeau Field, 2011. It was the Packers and the Broncos. It was the game before Tim Tebow became the quarterback of the Broncos. So Kyle Orton was the quarterback of Denver, and Aaron Rodgers was just in his glory that year. I think they went 15-1. That year, the Packers, and they just dominated. But just the lore of Lambeau, right? It was wonderful. And we got access on the field before the game. We got to tailgate with some of the locals. It was incredible, the experience. But guess what was happening while we're trying to enjoy this experience, waiting for the game to start at 3 o'clock local time? The Cowboys played at 12 o'clock that day, the early game, against the Lions. And Dallas was up 27-3 in the third quarter. And we're thinking, oh, this is going to be great. Tony Romo, Dez Bryant, here we go. And we're following the game on our phones, even back then, and realizing, and they're showing it up on the scoreboard as well, that Dallas was about to blow a 24-point lead in the second half. And the Lions won the game. And so Scott and I are watching this unfold, and we're so just depressed in the midst of trying to experience one of the great moments of our sports fandom, sitting in the middle of Lambeau Field and watching the Green Bay Packers play a football game in this storied, you know, stadium. And we're depressed. And we're like, oh my gosh, this stupid game just put us in this mood that we can't even enjoy one of these really amazing sports moments that any person would want to enjoy. That gives you an idea of the level of fandom that we have. And, you know, as Christians, I think, you know, the reason I brought this up to you is because I'm in the midst of this with the Celtics right now. And I love the Celtics. I root really hard watching them play in the playoffs. When they beat the 76ers in game 6 of the Eastern Conference semifinals a few days ago, I was genuinely excited, vocal, loud, clapping really loud. Let's go, guys, let's go. You know, I was into it. Like, you think I was on the team, or I was a coach. And I was just sitting downstairs at my house in front of my TV doing that, with nobody around except my daughter to my right, who just looks at me and shakes her head, and my wife to my left, who just looks at me and says, yep, that's Jason, because I've been doing this for 27 years with her. So there's moments where this kicks back in, but I catch myself sometimes and I think, okay, you know, understand it's just sports. It's not a big deal. They win or lose, my life still goes on the next day, or continues, we'll say. It goes to the next day, and God is still on the throne, and he's still good. And like, my faith is the most important thing in my life. My family is the second most important thing in my life. If those two things are in order, it really doesn't matter if the Celtics win or lose tonight. You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. I still want to root for my team. So there's this dynamic, Cole, that I'd love to get your thoughts on too, because I just don't know, like, where's the level that we can be passionate and cheering and love our team, but then also come back to earth and say it's really not a big deal.
Yeah. So. I would say for me, my change started to happen when I started coaching myself, when I had an actual stake or control in an actual outcome of a team. I lost a little bit of attachment to being, you know, I guess so into like the Cardinals or whatever, where it's like, now that I had an actual, like I was involved with the team, that those results matter to me more so than the Cardinals did. And so it helped me kind of detach from professional sports. And it's like, at that point, it's a little bit more understandable whenever you have a direct involvement with something to have a little bit more emotion to it. But that was in 2015 when I started coaching high school tennis. And I did that up until last year, really. And that helped me kind of just detach a little bit. I'm not coaching right now. And so it's, I think for me with baseball, there's so many games that they play every night that it allows me to move on to the next one. Now, when the Cardinals were terrible in April, that was another thing, because it was like, oh my goodness, now this is going to be a wasted year. It felt like football, it's a little different. They lose on Sunday. You got to wait a whole week till they play again. It is tough, because I think for me, it really became a really like a heart-to-heart thing with myself and God, really, where I had to really decide, where is my identity? Like, I was finding my identity in sports, and I would take it personally, not only when my team lost, but when other people talked badly about my team. And this was like, you know, 2014, 2015, 2016, that was the age where Deadspin, if you remember Deadspin, they literally had a season, not kidding you. Every time the Cardinals lost a game, they wrote an article about it, because they were trying to antagonize Cardinals fans, because, you know, Cardinals fans get this rep of, oh, best fans in baseball. And they kind of get this reputation of being snotty, uppity fans, which, fair or not, that happens. And I used to get so bent out of shape about that. And I just took the point where I was like, why should I care what other people think about my team? If I'm enjoying it, I can dictate my own experience with my team. And so I just really had to decide, like, where is my identity coming from? Is it coming from my sports fandom and my, you know, this knowledge that I supposedly have over sports? And I was, you know, seeing myself as this like sports expert and this baseball guru. And, you know, I let that become who I was. And I just really had to take a step back and be like, look, I just need to enjoy this. And if they lose, like, more often than not, my teams are going to lose. They're not going to win the title. That's going to happen maybe once or twice, maybe in my lifetime. Like, I've been fortunate to see two Cardinals World Series championships, the most amazing being 2011 when they had no business winning. Like, that will forever be probably my favorite sports moment, just because of the way that they won. And that's been cool to work with Matt and talk to Matt Holliday about that, because I had him on this show and we talked about that run, and he was just like, you know, that was as amazing to us as it probably was for the fans. Because it was just like out of the blue, like they were 12 and a half games back. So yeah, for me, it really was an identity thing. So I don't know if that's something you've encountered too, just where I had to really like have a soul searching moment about like, where is my identity lie with this?
Completely. I think that's what it is. You know, it's interesting because I used to work at ESPN, obviously. And when I was there, it was when they started the debate era. They used to call it embrace debate. Yeah. This was like 2011, 2012. And they really bought into First Take, Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith, and debating. And as I've gotten older and wiser, and since leaving ESPN 6 years ago, and I've sat there and I've watched how these political shows have created the embrace debate model, right? And I think what they've done, ESPN doesn't exist if rabid fans of sports don't exist.
Yeah.
Right? That's fair to say, right? If you don't have sports fans, you don't have a sports network. And ESPN's motto, at least when I was there, you know, their sort of, you know, phrase that was on the walls was to serve sports fans, all sports fans, anytime, anywhere, any place. So that's what they were banking on, as sports fans. So First Take would come on, and they still do this to this day. They force you to pick a side. There's a reason why every single Sunday, or I guess Monday during the NFL season, they start with the Dallas Cowboys, because they're the most popular team and also the most hated team in the league, right? And if you're a casual NFL fan, you probably don't care, but most fans, even the ones that are passionate, either love the Cowboys or hate the Cowboys. So they do that, and they pit sides intentionally, which then irks us. It's the same thing that you're seeing with the political discourse that's taken place over the past 7 years. Social media helps with this too, because they see the same way. Like, let me post something about a team that's going to get an either strong favorable comment or a very negative hateful comment, and they run with it. So politics has done this too, the political world, the last few years, because they realize This is how you get ratings. This is how you get people fired up. And I think I would not have done well if social media and the embrace debate motto of ESPN existed when I was a kid in the 80s and 90s. It would have been bad. Oh, it would have been really bad. I would have posted things that were, I would have gotten kicked off all the social media platforms for screaming, yelling, swearing, taking my opinion on stuff. And I've done that even since social media, where I post things. I'll give you a quick story. You know, I love the Mets, and you know, they disappoint me every year. That's just part of being a Mets fan. But 2 years ago, I was really passionate about what I thought could be a decent run for them, and it turned into a pretty bad run. And I started posting on social just little things like, man, this team disappoints me every single time. Another brutal loss for the Mets. You know, little things like that. And I had forgotten, for some stinking reason, because clearly I have a job and I work in sports, that I had known a few people who were on that team. And a few wives of the people who I knew on that team also knew about me, at least. And I had one wife DM me and say, Jason, what are you doing? And I said, what are you talking about? She said, you're killing our team on social media. And I said, I am. I'm just like a regular fan. She's like, but you're not a regular fan. Like, you're a host of a sports show and you're a believer. Keep that in mind. And it really opened my eyes, Cole, to now you very rarely ever, I don't even usually post about sports too often when my team's playing, because my emotions will get the best of me. I literally just watch the games, and you know, if the Celtics won the other day, I just put like Celtics pride or something like that. But I didn't post during the game because I can't do that anymore. But then you realize you also know a lot of people that play in these games. And even if, like, I have to be mindful, even if it's the teams I don't root for, particularly in the Philadelphia area, if those teams are doing terribly, I still won't post about it, because there's probably a decent chance I know a few players that play on the Phillies, or potentially the 76ers, or the Eagles, for sure. I just interviewed one of the Eagles coaches the other day. So the fandom has taken a completely different identity in my life. I still am a big fan. I feel like I'll always root for my teams till the day I die. And my grandfather, when he died, he was buried in a Green Bay Packers jacket, because he just loved the Packers. If I die, you know, with my wife and daughter still in tow, and they want to bury me in a Mets jersey or a Cowboys jersey, I'm not going to say no. Obviously, I'll be dead. I won't have to say no. But I would imagine that would make sense to them to put me in a sports jersey. But I've just completely looked at these things differently, because I know too many people now, and I'm friends with them. And I, like, even tomorrow as we record this, I'm going to a Mets game with my daughter, but I'm going to see one of my buddies who pitches for the Rays. I want to see him. And it's great, you know, they'll see my Mets team too. And I warned him, I'm like, I'm probably going to be in some Mets gear. And he's like, I wouldn't expect anything less. So he understands, but I want to see my buddy. And so I will never post something negative about him, or even the Rays for that matter, or in this series, even the Mets, because I have a friendship. It's a little different than a lot of fans, right? They're not friends with the people that they root for. But this sports world that I've lived in for 20 years, 25 years, you know, has shown me that I can still be a sports fan, but there's still people. And it's changed. And you have probably have had this experience a little bit too, Cole. You know, interviewing Matt Holliday and some of your guys that you rooted for, you realize they're just people. You know, they're just players, athletes that are trying to do the best that they can. And, you know, I interviewed a coach just recently who went like 9-25 in their first year this year in college basketball. And she was able to find like complete peace in that. She's like, no, we're going to learn from this. We're going to grow from this. And I'm like, well, if she can find that peace, then what would I be like as a fan? I can't just rip apart what's going on. So I don't even know if that answered your question, but there's a lot of thoughts going on this.
Well, you touched on it and you were getting there, but I mean, one of the things that was coming to mind as you were talking is just like, I think as sports fans, especially if it's, I guess just in general, I think we are prone to not being able to humanize athletes. Like, we see them as like a separate group of people almost. Like, we forget that they're humans, you know? And I think like you have the ability, you get the privilege of interviewing a lot of athletes and a lot of coaches, like you mentioned, players and coaches from teams that maybe you don't root about or root for. And this gives you a chance to know, like, okay, yeah, I'm not rooting for the Eagles or whoever, but I know their coaches and they're great people. And that's gotta change, I guess, kind of like, I guess the way you view the game, because I know like it's very easy for the average fan to just by default have sort of a vitriolic emotion toward their team's rivals. And I'll be honest, there are some teams and coaches that I just cannot stand. And that is because of their public persona that they put out there. I won't name their names here, but it wouldn't take you much research to go to my Twitter account and find out which ones I'm talking about. But when you do meet them and realize like, yeah, you know, when they're competing, and we've seen this even with the athletes that we've had on our show, when they're competing, they kind of become a little bit of a different animal as well. And so you kind of have to understand that like sports brings out a different side of athletes than we see. But I guess what I'm getting at here is just like taking the step back and being able to humanize athletes and coaches. Like for instance, my wife and I, we just watched an episode of Ted Lasso last week.
Yeah, I saw it.
This was an episode where the player goes into the crowd and fights a fan for saying an obscene comment to them.
I saw that episode.
You know, like as fans, we often think that these athletes don't hear us or that they won't hear us. They won't react. And Matt Jones, who's a very prominent radio host here in Kentucky, he hosts a show called Kentucky Sports Radio. He gets a lot of comments from fans on Twitter. He gets so much interaction. And I had him on my show a few years ago, and he was talking about this, where he said, you know, a lot of, and I think Dan Orlovsky has even said this too, that sometimes people just want to feel like they're noticed. And so if a guy is saying hateful things to them, they just want to feel like you heard them and noticed. So as long as you're like, hey man, I'm sorry you feel that way. Like that's all they want. And so a lot of times, I mean, fans have this tendency to just, I don't know, say the most crazy things at these athletes and coaches because they just feel like they're inhuman or they're not a real person. So as a fan yourself, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? And I guess encouragement for other fans who might be listening. I mean, just, I know they know this truth, but just what encouragement would you give them? Like, hey, you know, I've talked to these athletes. They are really just like us.
I'd speak from a believer standpoint first, like as a Christian man who loves the Lord. I think we have to remember that the Bible is pretty clear about how we should conduct ourselves in general, right? Around people, be kind, be tenderhearted, be forgiving, be encouraging, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, there's so many different things. And we think, yeah, that's in church and that's our friend circle, but that's not sports. Sports isn't real life. Well, it is real life for a lot of these guys. And I know many of them who have lived a really tough grinding, you know, journey to get to where they've gotten to. But we also have to remember that putting anybody on a pedestal, right? Famous people, fame is such an interesting thing too, with social media and trying to get noticed, like you say, but then the real famous people too. I'm just imagine what that's like for them. You know, not being able to walk out the door without being recognized or bombarded with autographs or pictures or whatever. And trying to remember that they're just regular people too. You know, I've gotten to meet, I don't want to say, or become friends with not the most famous people, but people that are certainly recognized pretty well. And I've walked, you know, to airports with people and others recognize the people I'm with, you know, and stop them or tell them, you know, how great they are or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just think we got to be careful. You know, just remind ourselves that they are people. Yes, you can root for them. You know, these guys that I'm cheering for with the Celtics right now, you know, other than Al Horford, who's, you know, 13 years younger than me, even though he's like a veteran on the Celtics, these other guys, I could be their dads. So what am I doing? Like all of them, I could be their dads. And I'm screaming and yelling and calling them this or saying, why are you screwing up here? And what's wrong with you? You know, and I just need to be reminded, like, remember, they're people, they're trying their best. And it's the same for the team on the other side. And hopefully my team wins. But I just think a good reminder, especially as Christians, to just be passionate, but don't take it over the top. Over the top, if you start to see that happen, you know, that's happened with a few people I know in my life where they're just like, you know, I don't even watch it now because I know my emotions and it'll just get the best of me. It's like, okay, well, that's healthy. Turn it off. You know, it's the same thing with social media. If you find yourself getting stirred on to comment about political posts or even sports, shut the app off and turn it off. You know, don't worry about it and move on. And, you know, that's healthy. And so I think as I've gotten older, that's the wisdom that I would bestow upon other people is just remember that they're normal humans who have, you know, a really cool job make more money, work harder than you could ever imagine behind the scenes to get to where they get to, and are going to make mistakes and fail because they're human. And cheer them on, you know, root for them. And if they do great things, like, that's wonderful. You know, Jason Adam of the Tampa Bay Rays is somebody that comes to mind. He's one of the guys I'm going to see tomorrow. You know, this guy grinded through the minor leagues. He had all these injuries. He was, you know, up and down in Kansas City. He had an arm injury. He had a freak leg injury a couple years ago with the Cubs. And he gets signed by the Rays, picked up. And guess what? Now he's an all-star. He was on Team USA at the World Baseball Classic. He's basically the closer, or one of the closers, for the Rays. And they're the best team in baseball. Mm-hmm. So cheer him on. Like, understand what this guy went through. And if he does give up a home run and lose the game like he did a couple days ago to the Yankees, oh well, you feel bad for him, but you root for him, the person, good or bad. And that's really hard for people who are so passionate about their teams. I get it. But I think that's just a healthier way to be a sports fan. Still enjoy the games, still watch your team, still be passionate, but just remember that it's just not the end of the world if your team wins or loses. It's just not.
Yeah, I think about this every football season because, you know, I live in Kentucky, so we don't always get the Bears on locally. And yeah, so a lot of times I'll have to go to this local sports bar and I'll just sit there and get my chicken tenders and fries and watch the game for 3 hours. But every week there are the same fans there. And I know that they've been there since it opened at 10:30, and they will stay there all hours of the day and drinking beer, doing whatever. But they get so angry. One of them's a Cowboys fan, and he gets so angry about the Cowboys. But I see these guys there every week, and I don't go every week because when the Bears are on where I can watch at my house, I just stay there. But you know, I see these guys there every week. Then if I go like a random Wednesday night, they're there again, and I'm just like, it tells me there are some people who just live and die at, not die, but they live and breathe at sports bars, and they live and breathe sports, and that's what they do. And my brother and I have had this conversation because, you know, we're both big Indiana University basketball fans, and my brother is about to be 43, and he's tweeted this and posted this on social media a couple of times, but he's like, I have really had to think about how ridiculous it is that my emotions are dictated by a bunch of 18 to 22 year olds shooting a leather ball through a rim. And that, right, that dictates how I feel. And I'm just like, you know, even at 33 years old, I'm still older than these kids. They could have been my students a few years ago. Yes. In fact, yeah, one of the kids who plays for Western Kentucky was a student of mine. And so I see all these people that are adults, you know, criticizing him because he transferred from Indiana and he was a five-star, but he expected him to be a big time deal. And he struggled last year and everybody's, you know, hating on him. And I'm just like, the kid's like 20 years old, 21 years old. Like, he's trying his best, and he's, you know, he doesn't want to play badly either. Nobody wants to play badly. So it's hard because, yeah, you want your team to win and it's disappointing when they lose, but it's not like the guys that are playing want to win less than you want them to win. Like, they arguably want to win way more than we want them to win. And this came up with St. Louis recently.
18 to 22 year olds. What are we doing? Yeah. Like, and I've been to college sporting events and they're passionate about their programs, right? And I understand the boosters and the people that have invested into those colleges and why they're so passionate. But if you're just a crazy passionate fan of a college team, and when the team does, you know, not so good, and you're screaming and yelling, they're 19 years old, 19. Like, what are we doing? And I have to remember that about the NBA too. Most of these kids are, you know, in their 20s still. You might get LeBron, who's like close to 40, Steph Curry, who's 35, but, you know, like, Jason Tatum's 25 years old. I'm going to be 50 this year. I am old enough to be this man's father. And yet I'm watching him and screaming and yelling when he does terribly and cheering him on when he does great. Like, what is wrong with me? So I just think, again, I don't have any problem with a passion for rooting for your team. You just got to be mindful of what you're doing. Yeah. And if you're screaming and yelling and you're throwing things at the wall, I mean, that's kind of why I don't go to a lot of sporting events with the teams that I root for anymore. I mean, the Mets are different. It's baseball. It's 162 games. They win or lose tomorrow, it's not going to dictate my day. I'm just going to try to have a good time with my daughter, right? Enjoy a baseball game with my kid. But if it's the Cowboys where there's 17 games and I go to see a Cowboys game and let's say they lose, and then you got rabid fans angry walking out of the stadium screaming, and you're like, that's crazy. Like, the fact that people would get into fights in the stands because you root for one team and another person roots for another team, it's mind-boggling to me. But that's where we're at. And so, yeah, I just And I also got to remind myself, like, all right, 2 Corinthians 5:20, Jason, you are an ambassador for Christ. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are an ambassador for Christ. If I'm being an ambassador, you got to represent Christ in the right way, not in the wrong way. And that's what I try to do.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I was thinking about this video I just saw recently. It was a couple of, I think it was, there's two MLS teams in Canada, one in Montreal, one's in Toronto, and they were playing each other. And their fans just had an all-out brawl, like in the very top of the stadium, just an all-out brawl, like probably 7-8 guys throwing haymakers, ripping their shirts off, throwing them down the stairs at the stadium. And I'm just like, man, I cannot imagine. And I've seen fans of the same team, videos of fans of the same team fighting.
Yes.
And I mean, that to me is like, they clearly had too much to drink or something like that.
How about the soccer world too? You talked about Ted Lasso, like the soccer fans. I don't think we can even, if we had this conversation in England, they probably throw us off the air because they're like, no, you just don't understand. And so I get it. Like, I understand the passion of sports because I worked at a sports network for years, but there's gotta be a level that it can't affect our psyche. You know, if you're literally unhealthy because your team's losing, or if you're literally down in the dumps and you can't talk to anybody and you're laying with a sheet over your head and your blanket over your head, just wallowing in self-pity and anger, maybe you shouldn't be a sports fan.
you're most likely going to be disappointed at some point
either way. The best teams lose, you know, what is it, 40-30% of their games, whatever it is, 20% if you're you know, an amazing team, so you're still going to lose a lot, you know. So I don't know.
This was some advice that my dad gave me when I was, when I was in middle school. I remember my dad giving me a piece of advice, and this was related to dating. Now, I was dating, you know, I had a couple girlfriends in middle school, high school, and when we broke up, I was just super upset. I didn't know how to regulate my emotions.
Yeah,
right. And my dad very clearly sat me down and said, "Look, Cole, if you always put your hope and expectations and human beings, you will always be disappointed." And his point was, your ultimate hope needs to be in Jesus. And I think the same can be said as it relates to sports or anything, music, whatever it is. Whenever we're almost putting other humans on a pedestal, glorifying them to some degree, we really need to be careful, because at some point they're going to let us down. They may win 18 games in a row, and then they'll lose again, and they may not win the championship, and they're not going to win the championship every year. You know, unless you're a fan of the 90s Bulls, where they won just about every year, you know, you're probably going to be disappointed more often than not. And then even at that point, it's going to end. And so, you know, it's just a matter of knowing, you know, where to put your hope. And obviously, as Christians, we want our hope to be in Jesus. And I know it's hard, because sometimes it can be a very temporal feeling where you're just like, man, I just really want my team to win tonight. Like, let this be the year. And then it's not the year, and you got to wait a whole calendar year to see it happen again. That's especially tough as a fan of a mid-major basketball program where the only chance they have of getting into the NCAA tournament basically is to win the conference tournament. So I'm like, at this point, I don't even know why I watch the regular season, because it doesn't matter, because it's going to come down to the 3 or 4 days that they play their conference tournament. But you know, it's very difficult, because it's like, I want them to win, but also I need to temper my emotions and my expectations so that it doesn't ruin not just my day, but like my week, my month, the rest of the year until I wait around for it. So it really, like, in my opinion, being a fan of sports should be a hobby, and it should be something that you get encouragement from. And I love watching certain athletes, because you can see them fight through injuries, and there's all kinds of encouraging stories which we get to tell at Sports Spectrum, which is great. But that's where it's got to be. It's got to be something that's a hobby, that's enjoyment type of thing, but not something that should dictate your emotions.
A hobby. Make it a hobby. You know, wear your jerseys, root for your teams. You're wearing a Cardinals hat, you know, wear your Cardinals hat, root for your teams. But you know, there are fans that are like this too, and you know who they are, and sometimes you get mad. You're like, oh, that's okay, St. Louis. You've only lost 12 in a row, but you guys keep fighting, keep fighting. You're there. It's like the encouraging fan, and you're like, no, don't encourage them. They're terrible. You want to be angry, but at the same time, you're like, no, maybe we should be more like that encouraging fan. Like, it sucks to lose, but like, let's try to be encouraging. Okay, that's all right, guys. Keep giving it your best shot. You know, there was that kid. Remember the LeBron kid? Maybe 10 years ago, LeBron had lost, you know, a game, and he said something like, good job, good effort, good job,
good effort.
Remember the kid? And he went viral because he was saying that, but he was just generally being encouraging, like even in a loss, like good job, good effort. And he was being made fun of in some ways because the fans were like, no, it's not a good job. They lost again. How dare you say that? And it's like, no, maybe we should be good job, good effort guy a little bit more. That might help our fandom a little bit, Cole.
admittedly, I use that line sarcastically.
I do too.
And I think most sports fans do. It's like when the Cardinals lose 12 in a row. Good job, good effort. We got three hits tonight instead of just two. Good job, good effort.
I know.
Now, they are starting to win, thankfully. They're starting to finally put some wins together. But man, it was rough.
Playing better.
So,
yeah. Playing better. All you can do.
Well, I've seen this continue to be promoted. So I assume there maybe are still spots open. You and I are both heading to a Christians and Sports conference in Minneapolis toward the end of June. Yes. I know you're going to be speaking at that. I know you're kind of on the board of directors, I guess, board of directors for that. I assume people, if they're still interested in attending that, it's still open to sign up for it.
Absolutely.
But what can you say about that? Okay. Yeah, there's no limited spot. So it's called the Christians in Sports Conference, if I'm not mistaken.
Christians Working in Sports, CWS.
Working in Sports.
Yeah. So the idea is, you know, there's a lot of people who are believers who work in the college or pro sports industry or even as broadcasters that don't really know how to live their faith out and be a believer in the work that they do. It can be a tough place to do that, right? So this conference was built and created by my friend Drew Bowe for that reason, to help invite people like yourself, like me, who have worked in the sports world, in the media world, who are believers, and just really hear from some great speakers, some people that are, you know, former coaches, current coaches, people who are basketball players. Jonathan Isaac's going to be the keynote speaker. Some pretty big names. John Gordon, the famous, you know, writer and author, is going to be there, the leadership author, and, you know, just some really great voices to come and encourage those who are believers trying to do the best that they can, but maybe struggling a little bit, and how to live their faith out in the workplace. So Christians Working in Sports, CWS, and people can search it online and you know, look for this conference. And it's in Minneapolis. It's the end of June, June 23rd and 24th. And I'll be there. You'll be there. If people want to go, I'll just say this, Cole. If people want to go and they want to get 50% off, they can contact me directly. So DM me on my social media and I will give you a 50% off code to go. It's $100, I think. It's pretty cheap to go anyways, but I can give you 50% off if you reach out to me directly, and I will get you the code to do that. Just DM me on Twitter, DM me on Instagram, whatever, if you hear this. But yeah, it should be a good time. It's the first year we're doing it. I think it's got a lot of potential, and I think it's going to help a lot of people. So if you're interested and you want to come and you work in the sports world and you're a believer in Jesus, definitely consider coming. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Dang, I should have waited to sign up till later. I could have.
You didn't ask, Cole. You didn't ask.
I didn't know. The early bird did not get the worm in this case. nonetheless, I am really excited. I've not been to a ton of conferences, really, especially because I didn't get into Christian media until really like right around the pandemic. And so I've not had a chance to go. I'd done one writer's conference and it was a virtual conference. So I've not really been. I haven't been to a conference in person probably since I was in college. It was a journalism conference, so this will be fun. I'm really looking forward to it. I went to Minneapolis last year for a day just to see a Twins game. I was visiting a buddy up in Iowa, and we drove up to Minneapolis, and only time I've ever been there, except I did fly through there once. But and then last thing here, I'll give you a chance. I mean, just kind of promote what we're doing on Sports Spectrum. We've obviously got a lot of stuff going on. Our summer magazine's about to come out. Yep. I have a story in that magazine. So if anybody wants to see some of my writing, it's in there. But we've got is that the cover behind you with Nick Ahmed on it? Is that the cover for this one?
That is the brand new cover of the new Sports Spectrum magazine. It's a quarterly magazine. People can get 15. I'll give you another code here. How about this? 15% off. Sports Spectrum 15. Use that code. Go to sportsspectrum.com and you can get 15% off a 1-year subscription. If you don't remember that, but you want to DM me about the magazine as well, I will give you the code there too. But yeah, the magazine is, I think it's the best thing that we do at Sports Spectrum. You know, Sports Spectrum is a ministry that intersects sports and faith, right? So we have a podcast that I host. We have our magazine that you mentioned that you contribute to. We have our website that there's tons of articles and devotionals and stories on our website to read. And really what we're trying to do is just keep Jesus in the sports conversation. There are a lot of believers that love Jesus and that are in the sports world, that are athletes and coaches. And we just want to highlight their stories So yeah, Nick Ahmed's on the cover. He's the cover story for this summer edition of Sports Spectrum magazine. We just featured the Oklahoma softball team in the spring edition. They are, you know, dominating right now and on their way into the College World Series again, hopefully this year, as they get ready for the softball NCAA tournament. So it's a fun time to be a sports fan. And, you know, we love sports at Sports Spectrum. We do, but we love Jesus more. And if we can use sports as a way to point people to the gospel and to the good news of Jesus, we're all in on that. And so that's what Sports Spectrum's about. We're grateful for your contribution, Cole, and I'm excited to read your story in the upcoming magazine. Which story did you write, by the way? Who was the athlete that you wrote about?
It was on Isaiah Hodgins.
Yeah, so New York Giants receiver.
New York Giants. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so nice. talked with his dad a little bit. That was really cool. He's got a really neat story. You know, it was on the practice squad for a while, especially when he was in Buffalo. And then, so I don't want to give too much away, but his performance in the playoffs was actually more impressive than just the line of stats that he put together. And I think he explained that in the podcast that he did with you. I mean, it had an injury that he was dealing with. And a lot of people didn't know that, would not have known that given the stat line that he put up in that game. And so pretty cool story. He's obviously going to be, I would imagine, a big contributor this next year for the Giants. I think they're expecting a lot out of him. So yeah, check out the magazine and check out sportspectrum.com as well. Jason, it's always good to have you on here. This was kind of short notice. We just kind of threw this together today. So I appreciate it. I'm heading to Europe for a vacation. And
you are.
Wasn't planning to have an episode this week, but you were like, hey, why don't we just record something to talk about, you know, fandom and our relationship with Jesus and how that all mixes. And I appreciate it. This was fun. This is a topic that I have actually been thinking about and was wanting to talk about at some point, and no better person to talk about it than with you. So appreciate
it, man. Well, thank you for having me. Always good to do this, and appreciate you and all the support you have and the work you do with your podcast, with the U.S. News, and certainly with Sports Spectrum. So keep it up, buddy.
Thanks again to Jason for joining me this week. I always enjoy talking with him, especially about faith and sports and where all those things intersect. That's obviously what we do at Sports Spectrum. So definitely check out the work we're doing over there, sportspectrum.com. And again, the magazine is such a good product that we do. There's so many useful pieces of content in there, devotionals, things for coaches and athletes. So if you're in the sports world at all, I highly recommend subscribing. And of course, use the promo code that Jason mentioned. I will have that as well as the promo code for the Christians Working in Sports Conference in the show notes. So if either of those two things interest you, check out the show notes and then, of course, get in touch with Jason and he can direct you to wherever you need to go for both of those things. If we are not connected on social media, I would love for that to change. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Cole Claiborne, and you can also find me on Facebook at Cole Douglas Claiborne. And then my website is coleclaiborne.com, and on there you can find a link to subscribe to my Substack newsletter. Plenty of ways to get in touch. If you listen to this show, I would love to hear your feedback or just to know that you've been listening. And if you have any guest suggestions, I'm always welcoming those as well. So if you've got anybody that you think might be a good fit, feel free to reach out and I'd be glad to hear your suggestions. But I hope you guys have a great week. Hope you find some time to relax and not be in a hurry. And we'll catch you next time.